Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the light.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler. Tonight's show is a special edition with my co-host, Tim Bench from the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you're tuning in to our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments with either of my co-hosts, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. And you can give me a call at the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating the congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show.
We will spread the everlasting light with the wind.
With the wind,
with our hand, giving God.
Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we're prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you would be my co-host on the show this evening, Tim Bench, as he breaks unto us the bread of life. We pray that you will bless him in his efforts and he will continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will bless our listeners this evening. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it is, Father, we pray that, thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. We recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you'll forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know that our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives, and if we have been faithful until death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For us in Jesus Christ's blessed name, we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. Our speaker for this evening will be my co-host, Tim Bent from the state of Texas, and he will be making his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds. And let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Tim Bench. Enjoy the show.
When God said no, and we won't accept it to the end,
just remember,
don't forget,
Father knows
what's best.
stays.
Yes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. My God. In the midnight hour, I was crying and all alone, waiting for an answer. All my hope's gone. I even called on my best friend, and she could not be found. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, where are you now? So I went to church the next Sunday morning, looking for my breakthrough. I knew a change would come if I just hold on, 'cause God's word is true. But then the preacher said something, and it took me by surprise. Sometimes God says no, but just like Job, you gotta trust him. When God says no, but when the preacher said it,
and
I didn't quite understand. He said,
don't forget,
just trust your Father,
because
He knows what's best. When I lay awake in the middle of the night with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, Father knows. Because
yeah,
He knows,
God,
Father
knows
what's best. And I started to feel a little better, 'cause He started talking about my Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how He prayed to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Then He did just like me, y'all. Said He went to His best friend, and His friends let Him down. He said, my God, why have You forsaken me? Where are You now? You see, sometimes God is moving, and we don't understand. See, Jesus paid the cost when we were lost, and it was all a part of God's master plan. So when you're waiting for that answer, and God says no to you, just go ahead and shout,
hey,
and have no doubt.
I'll trust your
Father. The Father knows,
hey,
more than you. When God says no, 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 no.
He
is not. Get the call. And you prayed for that sick one, and they've gone on to that eternal home. And when you cried and you prayed and you cried, and you feel there's nothing left, just put it in the hands of the Father. And remember, no matter what it is or what it looks like, God, He knows. Yes,
He knows.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, special edition. Now my co-host, Tim Bitch, and his subject, abortions.
Good evening. As Stevie mentioned, my name is Tim Bitch, and I'm calling in tonight from Abilene, Texas, and we want to begin tonight's special edition by welcoming all of our listeners, wherever you may be located. We know that we have listeners across the United States and even outside the United States, and we are always thankful and appreciative and happy that we have so many who listen in, who call in and submit questions and comments. So we're thankful to have you. Tonight is a special edition. We're going to be on the air for about the next 2 hours. It is 5:10 p.m. in Texas, 6:10 p.m. on the East Coast, and we're going to spend the next 2 hours looking at one of the most problematic touchy, difficult, horrifying topics in all of Christianity. And I want us to look at some statistics and look at numbers tonight, and I want us to look at this topic from a political perspective, from a social perspective, and from a biblical perspective, most importantly. We did this broadcast back in October. We had many people who commented and discussed it, so this is a bit of an updated and revamped version. And I want to start with a quotation that I found from the Waterbury Church of Christ, which I think gives us a good platform to begin this discussion. Quote, "In the United States, it is statistically confirmed that the most dangerous place for anyone to be with regard to the preservation of life is in the womb of one's own mother," end quote. There have been many outrages and dark deeds in the annals of U.S. history. We can all certainly think of many. You had the near genocide of the American Indian, for example. You had the Tuskegee experiments from 1932 to 1972, where black citizens were used as human guinea pigs, literally, with falsified syphilis studies and treatments. There was the implementation of slavery at the birth of this country, which was not rectified until 1865, and the resulting stories of horror, death, mistreatment, all of which almost defy belief. You had the concentration camps for the Japanese, for American citizens of Japanese ancestry after the Pearl Harbor attack. And most notably, you had the lynchings, perhaps the second greatest stain on the history of the United States. According to the Tuskegee Institute, between 1882 and 1968, there were 4,743 verified lynchings, and surely there were more than that that were never reported, 72% of those being blacks, 27.3% being whites. All of these atrocities and all of these horrors and all of these numbers, however, pale in the comparison, in the eyes of many, at least statistically, to the abomination that the U.S. Supreme Court decreed to be law in 1973, known as Roe v. Wade, wherein abortion was deemed to be legal in the United States. So this has been going on for nearly 46 years. In early 2018, just about a year ago, the total number of aborted children in the U.S. since Roe v. Wade became law surpassed the 60 million mark. 60 million deaths. That number surpasses the totals of those killed by Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler combined in World War II, and then doubling that number. And let's take a moment and let the magnitude of that number sink in. 60 million deaths, 60 million infants, tiny, defenseless children allowed to be slaughtered by your government, all in the name of women's freedom to choose. This is roughly five times the number of inhabitants of New York City. This is your tax dollars going to fund such operations as Planned Parenthood, which carry out these mass murder incidents, while the U.S. government talks endlessly across the globe about its dedication to the protection of human life and the promotion of global peace. Much of what you may hear tonight, especially about the origins and stances of Planned Parenthood and its founders, may be shocking. And it may be even unbelievable. And that being said, I invite any and all listeners tonight, wherever you may be, to research for yourself the information which will be presented this evening from an array of sources. I want to start this presentation with a quick citation. This is from Mike Willis. This is from Truth Magazine, entitled, "Is Abortion Sinful?" Quote, "On January 22, 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled on the Roe v. Wade case, striking down Texas law prohibiting abortion. Since 1973, abortion has been legal in the United States. In the court ruling, personhood was denied to the unborn, in spite of the fact that the unborn can be heirs, have the right to sue for damages, and to have a guardian appointed on their behalf, etc. In the years since the 1973 ruling, 20 million unborn babies have been slaughtered in American abortuaries. More Americans have died by abortion than in all of the wars in which our soldiers have participated, end quote. Willis's quote is from 1990. That quote is from 28 years ago, and even 28 years ago, abortion had claimed more lives than all of the wars, all of the victims of all the wars in the history of this country. And these horrifying numerical totals have done nothing but increase, again, tripling from 20 million to 60 million, roughly 1.4 million aborted fetuses and aborted lives per year. And as we earlier stated, we're going to be looking at abortion from a variety of angles and approaches. I want us to look at its history, its rationale, its justification, both socially and politically, and most of all, again, we are going to apply what the Bible says to this flashpoint issue. Abortion is very much an issue which affects every facet of our society today. And every church and every school and arguably every family at some point is going to be touched by this topic. And again, the statistics which we will consider tonight will be shocking to most of our listeners, but each of these statistics is verified and true. The most common argument to support abortion often follows along these lines. This is from Andrew Koppelman in the Northwestern Law Review back in 1990. Quote, when women are compelled to carry and bear children, they are subjected to involuntary servitude in violation of the 13th Amendment. Even if the woman has stipulated to have consented to the risk of pregnancy, that does not permit the state to force her to remain pregnant, end quote. Abortion is, as we would all probably expect, defended from some quarters in academia, even from a biblical perspective. This is from Dr. Robert Wyman at Yale University, entitled Biology and History of Abortion. Quote, abortion has been known in history as far back as we can trace. The oldest reference is from Egyptian hieroglyphs and tomb paintings. So we're talking about the very early civilization. As soon as people can write, they're writing about abortion. By the time of the Roman Empire, there were lots of references to abortion in the literature, and there are no laws against it. The Romans didn't consider it. As I've just mentioned, in the New Testament, it's not mentioned at all, and there's, of course, nothing forbidding it. The New Testament and the Roman Empire are contemporaneous, of course, and so the conclusion is that even though abortion was very, very common at that time and used by all classes of people, there was not an issue for the New Testament writers, end quote. So again, we can look for examples and find them very easily. Our schools, our universities oftentimes promoting this and saying, well, the Bible doesn't specifically preclude it or admonish it, so therefore it must be acceptable. I want us to look at very quickly some statistics that, again, are just jaw-dropping and astonishing, but I think that we have to look at these to get an idea of the magnitude of the effect this has had on society. And abortion has been particularly devastating to African Americans. According to the Wall Street Journal, on July 10, 1918, in an article by Jason Riley, in New York City, annually, there are now more black babies aborted than actually born alive. From the Guttmacher Institute, 21% of all pregnancies in the United States now end in induced abortion. That is more than one in five. And the racial breakout of that, 37% white, 37% black, 19% Hispanic, 7% other. This issue transcends all race. It transcends all church affiliation. It transcends all political affiliations, as we are going to see tonight. This is genocide, pure and simple. And here's the most amazing statistic, I think. Of the 60 million killed since 1973, 20,350,000 have been black. That is 33.9%. Again, the decimation of the black communities across this country has been beyond anything that we can even dream or even imagine. Here is a comment that I actually saw on Facebook several days ago from a supporter of abortion. And she said, until a baby comes out of a man's body, an opinion on abortion shouldn't even come out of his mouth. Politicians, as we know, have chimed in on this issue. This is from Hillary Clinton. Quote, being pro-choice is trusting the individual to make the right decision for herself and her family, and not entrusting that decision to anyone wearing the authority of government in any regard, end quote. From Senator Bernie Sanders, who, by all accounts, is going to run for president again in 2 years. Here's what Sanders says, quote, we are not going back. We are not returning to the days of backroom abortions when countless women died or were maimed. The decision about abortion must remain a decision for the woman, her family, and a physician to make, not the government, end quote. Because of these types of quotes, people often make the following assertion, and it is flatly untrue, as we are going to see here momentarily. It is inaccurate. It is invalid. That argument is that all Democrats support abortion, where all Republicans oppose abortion. And again, and I cannot emphasize this strongly enough, when we make broad stroke categorical statements about groups with tens of millions of people, it's not only a dangerous, slippery slope, but to be perfectly blunt, it makes the one promoting the comments appear to be a simple-minded imbecile. If I make a statement about all people in any group, any exception which is given makes my arguments invalid, and it also destroys any shred of credibility that I might have. This issue is far more complex. It is far more detailed. It is far more challenging and nuanced than merely Republican versus Democrat or Christian versus non-Christian. And those who make those sorts of baseless assertions do more harm to their arguments than they do good. Again, when someone summarily decrees that all fill-in-the-blank engage in some specific behavior, it takes one and only one proven exception to demolish the credibility of person number one. And if, as Christians, we are going to boldly and effectively address hot-button social and moral issues, we actually need to do some valid research. We actually need to present our listeners with accurate, cited, and documented analysis and not merely broad, sweeping, and wrong declarations. This is from 538.com, and this is some of their polling data. This is one of the polling expert groups for all sorts of political and social data. Their polling concluded in 2017 that about 75% of Democrats say that abortion should be legal in all or most cases, about 3 in 4, and that's not overly surprising. However, here's what is surprising. If you make those assertions about all Democrats and all Republicans, from Glenn Fleischman in the July 24th, 2018 issue of Fortune magazine, 52% of Republican voters polled expressed support for Roe v. Wade. I want us each to hear that and to think about that. Over half of Republican voters now support Roe versus Wade. Again, so often we think all Democrats are pro-abortion, all Republicans are against abortion. Ladies and gentlemen, that flatly is not true. There are entire Republican groups which support abortion. Here's just one example. You can go online and look at this for yourself. There's a group called the Republican Majority for Choice. And if you look on their website under Who We Are, RMC is a national organization with members truly committed to limiting the scope of government and the personal lives of Americans. We do this as Republicans because we believe in the rights and powers of the individual. Again, here is a group which is Republican, which very proudly proclaims itself to be Republican, and likewise is very proudly proclaiming itself to agree with and support abortion. Again, the common refrain that all Republicans are anti-abortion is thus proven irrefutably false. More verbiage from the RMC. Again, this is from their website. Quote, individuals and families have the right to unfettered access to reproductive choices from education to abstinence, contraception, motherhood, adoption, and safe legal abortion. Well, now that we see that there are Republican groups which are pro-abortion, likewise, there are Democrat groups which absolutely oppose abortion. Again, further evidence that this issue has evolved far beyond whether this is a clear-cut party issue. Here is one example of many. There's a group online, again, you can go to their website, called democratsforlife.org. And they state on their website that nationwide, one in three Democrats are pro-life. And again, depending on the polling exit data that you look at, it may be a little bit higher, it may be a little bit lower, but there's a very large block. If we're looking at the Democratic Party, which has, according to the last election, about 65 million voting members, if one in three are pro-life, that gives you over 20 million Democrats nationwide who oppose abortion. So again, quite obviously, this is not merely a conservative versus liberal issue or a Republican versus Democrat issue, as so many would have you believe. All of us have more than likely seen examples from supposed brothers within the church, wherein not only all Democrats are lumped in as abortion supporters, but to where Democrats and abortion actually become the basis of jokes and attempts at humor. Lori White, who is a champion of abortion causes, and I saw an actual post several weeks ago from a Church of Christ preacher who made the comment, quote, it is impossible to vote Democrat while being a Christian, unquote. Well, that's flatly not true. That is not accurate. There are many Democrats who are anti-abortion. Just a few days ago, we saw another supposed preacher who made the comment on Facebook. He says, quote, I was going to start getting ready to open the pool until I saw the weather forecast. Winter is like a bunch of Democrats voting for abortion, just won't quit. Joking about this topic is just about as appropriate as joking about the Holocaust or joking about any genocide in human history, because that is exactly what this is. No good whatsoever comes from these sorts of ill-informed, flippant comments, and humor about this topic is simply vile. It is every bit as appropriate as joking about the lynchings, for example, that we mentioned earlier. Here is statistical, proven, documented truth. Let's look at the statistics about this issue across the United States. According to the Gallup poll, over 50% of Americans, 58% to be specific, believe that abortions should be legal under certain circumstances. 28% believe abortion should be legal under any circumstances. 21% believe that abortion should be illegal in all circumstances. And again, the numbers for support of abortion are actually increasing across the board. You can look at the pewforum.org. They have some fantastic statistics under their slide entitled Views of Abortion. In 2014, you had an uptick. It was up to 53% of the U.S. population who believed that abortion should be legal in all or slash most cases, as compared to 51% just 7 years earlier in 2007. So in a seven-year window, the approval percentages of this went up 2%. That doesn't sound like much, but again, you're looking at a polling sample of many millions of people. The approval for this practice is growing. What about abortion by religious groups? Again, so often we will hear people say things like, well, if you're all Christians are against abortion and all non-Christians are not against abortion. Well, again, that is flatly not true. From the Pew Forum, views about abortion by religious group. This is broken out from Buddhist to Catholic to evangelical Protestant to Hindu. These numbers are staggering. Again, 48% of all Catholics approve of abortion. 33% of all evangelical Protestants approve of abortion. 62% of all historically black Protestants agree with abortion. 83% of the Jewish faith agree with abortion. 60% of mainline Protestants agree with abortion. And again, these numbers cause one just to gasp as they read, if we are Christians and we are anti-abortion in many areas and many quarters, you are now actually the minority now, not the majority. As we mentioned earlier, there are ideological gaps in both parties. This is again from the Pew Research Center. If we look at Democrats, for example, again, we have about a 72 to 75% approval. The conservative moderate wing of the Democratic Party comes in at a 68% approval for abortion, roughly 2 out of 3, which matches up the numbers from the Democratic group that we talked about earlier. From the moderate liberals of the Republican Party, approval is at 58%. Again, well more than half. It trails the Democrats by about 10%. But again, this is further proof of what we talked about. This has developed, ladies and gentlemen, far beyond political parties. It has developed far beyond whether how I classify myself for voting in a specific county or a state. From, again, PewResearch.org, American religious groups vary widely in their views on abortion. This gives some great statistics, which we're going to look at very quickly. And again, the assumption is often that church members or Christians are categorically opposed to abortion. And again, statistically, nothing could be further from the truth. I want us to look at a few examples here. Jehovah's Witnesses. 75% of Jehovah's Witnesses say abortion should be illegal in all or most cases. The Mormons come in at 70%. You have some other groups, such as the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, etc., that all are in that 70% range. But here are the counter facts, and these are horrifying facts. These are the percentages of different religious groups, which we're all familiar with, who support unfettered, unrestricted access to abortion. Again, Jewish, 83%. The Episcopal Church, one of the largest denominations in the United States, 79% of the Episcopal membership across the United States agrees with and supports abortion. The Presbyterian Church comes in at 65%. The Methodist Church, which is the center of so much controversy in the last week or so, 58%. The Anglican Church, 56%. The Orthodox Christians, 53%. The Catholics, as we mentioned, 48%. The Churches of Christ, which so many of our members and so many of our listeners are a part of, 36% of the Church of Christ nationwide agrees with abortion and supports abortion. I want that number to sink in. 36% of our brotherhood actually approves of abortion. And I know that there may be some more conservative churches where that number might be a bit smaller, let's say 20 or 25%. But we also have to take into account that at other churches, typically more progressive churches, that number might actually be higher. It might actually be 40 or 45 or even 50%. The bottom line is that over one-third of members across the United States of the Churches of Christ support abortion as a practice, period. That is statistically beyond dispute. This was actually a citation that I found from the United Church of Christ online website. Again, there's a huge difference, as we all know, between the Church of Christ and the United Church of Christ, but I think it is noteworthy to read very quickly what the United Church of Christ stance is on abortion. This is from their website. This is United Church of Christ biography. This is in answer to the question, should abortion be legal? According to the United Church of Christ, quote, God has given us life, and life is sacred and good. God has also given us the responsibility to make decisions which reflect a reverence for life in circumstances when conflicting realities are present. Jesus affirmed women as full partners in the faith, capable of making decisions that affect their lives. The United Church of Christ has affirmed and reaffirmed since 1971 that access to safe and legal abortion is consistent with a woman's right to follow the dictates of her own faith and beliefs in determining when and if she should have children. We have also supported that women with limited financial means should be able to receive public funding in order to exercise her legal right to the full range of reproductive health services. What is legally available to women must be accessible to all women, end quote. As we consider that quote again, it's astonishing. Not only does the United Church of Christ hold that abortion should be legal, but the tax dollars, your tax dollars, my tax dollars, should be used and applied to help support that. This is a citation from James Hester on the Bible on abortion, which I want us to read very quickly as we progress through this. I think this gives so much of a great insight about abortion and about the development of a fetus. Quote, by the end of the second week of pregnancy, there is a distinct embryo present. The fetus has a developing brain and a rudimentary heart. By the end of the third week of pregnancy, the fetus has the beginning of vertebrae, developing eyes and ears, a closed circulatory system separate from the mother's, a working heart, the beginnings of lungs, and budding limbs. By the end of the fourth week of pregnancy, the fetus has the beginnings of vertebrae, developing eyes and ears, a closed circulatory, a working heart, lungs, a developing nose, and a pancreas. This is the beginning of a human being. Yet those who believe in the woman's right to choose disregard the fact that after only 9 weeks, unborn babies can feel pain, yet 48% of all abortions are done after, end quote. This is from Harvard University, Dr. Matthew Roth, quote, it is scientifically correct to say that individual human life begins at conception. A new individual is created when the elements of a potent sperm merge with those of a fertile egg, end quote. As we all know, Planned Parenthood is often praised as an organization dedicated to the health of women. Yet very few people who support Planned Parenthood know about or even care about the stunning views of Margaret Sanger, the founder of the organization. Margaret Sanger had little interest in health issues for women. She was far more focused on her racially charged eugenics efforts. And again, as we consider her exact quotes, which I'm about to provide, all of which are cited and referenced. If any listener would like a copy, you can certainly contact me or Stevie. I want us each to ask ourselves, or if you're a listener out there and you ever have supported Planned Parenthood, I want you to ask yourself how anyone could support this organization. Again, these are direct quotes from Margaret Sanger, from an interview she did with John Parsons in 1947. Quote, for my view, I believe that there should be no more babies, end quote. From Women in the New Race, Chapter 5 from 1920, quote, the most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it, end quote. From a letter written to Dr. Clarence Gamble, this was on December 10, 1939, quote, we don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, end quote. From Margaret Sanger, an autobiography, page 366, quote, I accepted an invitation to talk to the woman's branch of the Ku Klux Klan. I was escorted to the platform, was introduced, and began to speak. In the end, through simple illustrations, I believed I had accomplished my purpose. A dozen invitations to speak to similar groups were proffered, end quote. From an interview done by Sanger with journalist Mike Wallace back in 1957, quote, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just marked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin that people can commit, end quote. From Margaret Sanger, Woman in the New Race, again from 1920, chapter 5, quote, the most serious evil of our times is that of encouraging the bringing into the world of large families. The most immoral practice of the day is breeding too many children, end quote. Margaret Sanger again, from Birth Control and Racial Betterment, quote, eugenics without birth control seems to us a house built upon the sands. It is at the mercy of the rising stream of the unfit, end quote. From Margaret Sanger, the eugenic value of birth control propaganda, quote, as an advocate for birth control, I wish to take advantage of the present opportunity to point out the unbalance between the birth rate of the unfit and the fit. Admittedly, the greatest present menace to civilization can never be rectified by the inauguration of a cradle competition between these two classes, end quote. When we read of terms like fit and unfit, we obviously think of Charles Darwin and his famous dogma about survival of the fittest, which again is what Margaret Sanger is turning this into, or attempting to turn this into. From Sanger, from the eugenic value of birth control propaganda, again, page 5, quote, the most urgent problem today is how to limit and discourage the over-fertility of the mentally and physically defective, end quote. Again, if you were deemed defective or lacking in some way by Margaret Sanger, you should never have been born. This doesn't just reek of Darwinism. This reeks of the eugenics of Nazi Germany during World War II. From Margaret Sanger, 1918, when should a children avoid having children? Quote, no more children should be born when the parents, though healthy themselves, find that their children are physically or mentally defective, end quote. And again, this is taken from New York University, NYU.edu. Margaret Sanger again, this is from March of 1934, America needs a code for babies, quote, a marriage license shall in itself give husband and wife only the right to a common household and not the right to parenthood, end quote. Again, continuing from America needs a code for babies, article 4, quote, no woman shall have the legal right to bear a child, and no man shall have the right to become a father without a permit for parenthood, end quote. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. You would have to get a permit from the government to be able to have children. She continues in Article 5 from the same source, quote, permits for parenthood shall be issued upon application by city, county, or state authorities to married couples, providing that they are financially able to support the expected child, have the qualifications needed for proper rearing of the child, have no transmissible diseases, and on the woman's part, no medical indication that maternity is likely to result in death or permanent injury to health, end quote. From Article 6 of the same writing, quote, no permit for parenthood shall be valid for more than one birth, end quote. So if you wanted to have a second or third child, you would again have to go, this sounds like an Orwellian nightmare of some point, at some level, you would have to go again to the authorities and request permission, if you will, to have more children. For Margaret Sanger, My Way to Peace, this is from January of 1932, quote, apply a stern and rigid policy of sterilization and segregation to that grade of population whose progeny is tainted or whose inheritance is such that objectionable traits may be transmitted to offspring, end quote. Margaret Sanger, Highlights in the History of Birth Control. This is from October 1923. Quote, these two words sum up our whole philosophy. It means the release and cultivation of the better elements in our society and the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual extinction of defective stocks, those human weeds which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization, end quote. Again, if you are a champion, if you are a supporter of Planned Parenthood, pay careful attention to this. Your founder, the leader of the group which you admire, actually called for the extermination, the extinction, the word that she used here, of those human weeds, of those who might be tainted in some way, who might have some sort of physical or mental dilemma. And again, I want to emphasize this. It boggles the mind, literally, to where parents wanting to have children, according to Margaret Sanger, would have to have permission from the federal government to do so in the first place. And if that child was in any way defective, they would need to be exterminated. From Margaret Sanger, just a few more of these. This is from The Pivot of Civilization in 1922. Quote, organized charity itself is the symptom of a malignant social disease. Margaret Sanger on the Pope's position on birth control. This is from January of 1932. Quote, my own position is that the Catholic doctrine is illogical, not in accord with science, and definitely against social welfare, and here's the key term, and race improvement, end quote. Margaret Sanger, Morality and Birth Control, from 1918. Quote, all of our problems are the result of overbreeding among the working class. Knowledge of birth control is essentially moral. Its general, though prudent, practice must lead to a higher individuality and ultimately to a cleaner race, end quote. Again, we're starting to see some of her racial views starting to rear their ugly heads within some of her own comments. Again, when she talks about race improvement and breeding a cleaner race. From Margaret Sanger, again, from the pivot of civilization, there's this quote and one more that I want to share. Quote, feeble-mindedness perpetuates itself from the ranks of those who are blandly indifferent to their racial responsibilities, and it is largely this type of humanity we are now drawing upon to populate our world for the generations to come. In this orgy of multiplying and replenishing the earth, this type, multiplying and perpetuating those direst evils in which we must, if civilization is to survive, rip up by the very roots, end quote. Finally, from Women in the New Race in 1920, quote, birth control itself, often denounced as a violation of natural law, is nothing more or less than the facilitation of the process of weeding out the unfit, or preventing the birth of defectives or of those who will become defectives. If we are to make racial progress, this development of motherhood must precede motherhood in every individual woman, end quote. And again, as we read these horrifying stances that she had, who would be the one to deem who was unfit and who was not? Would it be the federal government? Who would be the one to deem those who were to be defective? And likewise, who would decide whether those defectives or the unfit would be put to death or not? Here is perhaps the most astonishing of all observations from Margaret Sanger, again, the so-called champion of women's rights to so many nowadays. Again, these are the exact words from Margaret Sanger. Quote, hordes of people are born who live, yet who have done absolutely nothing to advance their race one iota. Their lives are hopeless repetition. Such human weeds clog up the path, drain up the energies and the resources of this little earth. We must clear the way for a better world. We must cultivate our garden. Instead of decreasing and aiming to eliminate the stocks that are most detrimental to the future of the race and the world, it tends to render them to a menacing degree dominant. We are paying for and even submitting to the dictates of an ever-increasing, unceasingly spawning class of human beings who should never have been born at all, end quote. Despite this mind-boggling evil, despite this abominable list of viewpoints of racial disposability and racial superiority, despite this flying in the face of biblical precedent, there are church groups even today, right now in 2019, which wholeheartedly embrace Planned Parenthood, which embrace Planned Parenthood's efforts. From the October 22nd, 2018 Life News website, this was just about 7 months ago, quote, on the evening of November 9th, the so-called Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice is planning a blessing of the Planned Parenthood Abortion Center. This appears to be a response to the closing ceremony of the 40 Days of Life campaign. The event is called Holy Ground, blessing the sacred place of decision, and an event description reads, during this clinic blessing, participants will gather with local faith leaders and guests to ask for God's blessing upon Planned Parenthood of Greater Ohio's East Columbus Surgical Facility, the abortion providers and staffs, and all of those who pass through this center, end quote. Again, it is beyond belief you actually have a religious group going to a Planned Parenthood facility to have a religious ceremony and to pray for the success of this group. Some of the world's most well-known religious leaders, and again, from a variety of faiths, not just within the Church of Christ, have chimed in on this subject throughout time, and a lot of these are certainly noteworthy and worth consideration. From Mother Teresa, quote, there are two victims in every abortion, a dead baby and a dead conscience, end quote. From Mahatma Gandhi, quote, it seems to me as clear as daylight that abortion should be a crime, end quote. From Dietrich Bonhoeffer, quote, destruction of the embryo in the mother's womb is a violation of the right to live, which God has bestowed upon this nascent life. To raise the question whether we are here concerned already with a human being or not is merely to confuse the issue. The simple fact is that God certainly intended to create a human being, and that this human being has been deliberately deprived of his life, and that is nothing but murder, end quote. We are halfway through our show this evening. We're going to take a break for just a few minutes, and then we are going to come back for part two. I certainly hope that everyone can stay with us, and we are going to look specifically, we've looked at the historical background, we've looked at the social forces and social influences, and when we come back, I want us to get down to business and look at what does the Bible have to say about the unborn. And again, I think it will amaze everyone how much the Bible does have to say about that. So we'll be back in about 10 minutes. Again, my name is Tim Bench. We are certainly glad that you are joining us this evening, and we will see you in just a few minutes. Thank you.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665 or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact us at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405 or send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. On August the 4th through the 9th, 2019, the Northside Church of Christ will be the official host of the 2019 Florida State Lectureship of the Churches of Christ in conjunction with the Jacksonville, Florida congregations. The Newbird Church of Christ, located in Louisville, Kentucky, is currently seeking a full-time minister. Please submit all inquiries to the newbirdcoc@gmail.com. Candidates will be forwarded a job description and application packet. Completed applications should be submitted along with the candidate's resume, references, doctrinal philosophies, and a sample of the audio or video recorded sermon. On March the 21st through the 24th, 2019, the Millennial Reach Collaborative presents God's Plan Millennial Reach Conference. And that address is the Marriott Miami Airport, 1201 Northwest Lejeune Road, Miami, Florida, 33126. For more information or registration, visit the website at www.reach.com or give them a call at 228-331-3324. On March the 16th through the 17th, 2019, the New Day Weekend, there'll be a New Day Weekend at the Athens Church, Church of Christ, Lincoln Bridge. At the location will be the Lincoln Bridge Fort Park, 815 Westview Avenue, Athens, Alabama. And the a cappella groups performing will be Made New Acapella, MIP members in particular. And for more information about this event, please call 256-233-5460. On April the 5th through the 7th, 2019, there'll be a homecoming gospel meeting at the Southside Church of Christ. And that address is 6916 County Road, Rogersville, Alabama, 35652. Or give them a call for more information at 256-247-3104. On March the 10th through the 14th, 2019, the 2019 NCOCL will be held in Chicago, Illinois. The National Churches of Christ Lectureship will be held at the Tinsley Park Convention Center, and that address is 18501 Convention Center Drive, Tinsley Park, Illinois, 60477. For booking and registration information, please call 708-342-5485. The theme of this lectureship will be Identity Theft, Establishing the True Identity of Jesus Christ and His Church. The lesson text, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. On March the 9th, 2019, there will be a second annual Youth Empowerment Conference located at the E.E. Smith High School here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And the time of the event will be from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And this event is for high schoolers 9 through 12th grade. A program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio the first Monday of every month from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Hosting the live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition, and this show was designated for special topics from our listening audience. On Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting the live show, What a Word from the Lord Radio Show, and each week we will have guest speakers presenting lessons from the Word of God, from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ, and we certainly appreciate their support for this program. And we also have the Community Corner. That segment is for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services that they're offering to our community. Also, my co-host, Edward Bishop, he's from Niagara Falls, New York. He'll be presenting a lesson from the Word of God every other week on this broadcast. And also on Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And on that show, I have 8 co-hosts who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week, I have two of my co-hosts who will be on the air. And also, I'm taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, and I'll be posing two of these questions to two of my co-hosts on the show. And then on Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. I'm airing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists on that broadcast. Also, we have the Story Glory segment where we interview an artist on the radio show. We're also debuting new music featuring old music. And also, we're doing a Top 20 Countdown show once a month. We're also doing once a quarter, the Marathon show. That's a three-hour show of whatever artist or group that we're featuring on that show. And we'll just be playing their music. And the next Marathon show will be on April the 26th, 2019, where we'll be featuring Eric Gwynn from Montgomery, Alabama. We'll be celebrating with him his 30th anniversary in singing acapella gospel music. Also, if you're an artist and you want your music played on any of my radio shows, just send me your MP3 formatted tracks via Dropbox, and my email address is srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can now listen to all my shows, my on-demand episodes, through my affiliate internet stations, through Spotify, through iHeartRadio, through Apple iTunes, through acaradio.net, through iWay Radio, through mccbroadcasting.com, through ivcbroadcasting.com, even YouTube. Go to YouTube and go to my YouTube channel, Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. Or you can go to the Church TV Network and see their playlist, Acapella Radio. Or go to my website, Spreaker.com, that's S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.com, and type my name in the search bar, Stevie R. Butler. And also go to the World of Acapella site and pull up these on-demand episodes. And I also want to thank my sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows, Bethesda, Memorial Funeral Director of Crematory Services. They're out of DeSoto, Texas. And also my sponsor, Sharon Norwood. She's out of Chicago, Illinois, and her company is called Organo. And their slogan is a health product for healthier living. And also my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. She's out of Nashville, Tennessee. Certainly appreciate her. And also my sponsor, Stanley Phillip. He's out of Little Rock, Arkansas. His company is called A Touch of Class Apparel. And my sponsor, C.J. Colson. Her company is called Utherpin Health Institute out of Monument, Colorado. And Diversified Financial Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas. And that's owned by Mark and Charlotte Curl. And that will conclude our program announcement.
I was hurting all along. I was searching for a comfort I could find on my own, with no direction, feeling down. My life was headed for disaster till you turned me around. Nothing ever had been able to ease me when trying to please me. It only pleased me less. But when I learned about the way that you love me, had to put your honor above me. And you gave me rest.
Lead me to rest, sweet Lord. Lead me to rest.
Oh, Lord.
From my journey here, lead me to rest.
The relief I found from the burdens that have weighed me down.
Lead me to rest.
What a comfort, what a deal. As I consider what you offered me, how can it be real? What should I offer in return? When the value of your blessings no one could ever and you made it so clear, yeah. I'm supported when the devil would charm me, protected when the evil would harm me. Tell me, how can I be?
Lead me to rest, sweet Lord. Lead me to rest.
Oh, yeah.
From my journey here, lead me to rest.
The relief I find from the burden that have weighed me down.
Lead me to rest.
Listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. Now back to my co-host Tim Bench and his subject, abortions.
Good evening. I want to welcome everyone back for part two of our discussion on abortion tonight. If you are just joining us, we've spent the first hour looking at a lot of the history and background and social forces which have molded together to result in what we see today, and that is the rampant and growing acceptance of abortion as a practice, and not merely just from those who are non-Christians, but within Christianity itself, and certainly not within those who are just Republicans or just Democrats. This issue transcends political barriers and racial barriers and geographic barriers. Again, this is a growing menace to all of Christianity. Before we get specifically into what the Bible has to say, for those who are just joining us, I want to cite two quick references and writings just to set the stage, so to speak, for what our second hour will be. Again, this is from the Waterbury Church of Christ. Quote, an estimated 1.3 million American women have abortions each year, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention data. That's why abortion is the second leading surgical procedure done in this country since the Supreme Court decided Roe v. Wade 1973. 60 million abortions have been performed in the United States. That's more than 40 times the number of Americans who died in the Civil War, World War I, World War II, and Vietnam combined. Among the survey given to 11,288 women who had abortions in 1994-1995, according to the Guttmacher survey, Catholic women, 31%, were as likely as women of the general population to have an abortion, while Protestants were at 69% and were as likely and evangelical or born-again Christians were at 39% and were as likely to have abortions. Some 3,600 abortions occur every day in this country. They are not killed by accident. They are deliberately killed, end quote. And again, from Mike Willis, and I think this makes some fantastic points I want us to consider as we trek into hour two. Quote, abortion shows a disregard for human life. The Bible describes man as created in the image of God, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. This is the reason that killing a human being is wrong, Genesis 9, verse 6. In Bible Revelation, children are considered a heritage of the Lord, Psalm 127, verse 3, and a blessing, Psalm 128, verse 3. A woman who was barren felt particularly unfortunate. Many today have a different attitude towards children. When told that they are pregnant, many women, instead of joyfully anticipating a child, view the child as a threat to their lifestyle and happiness. The child within the womb is not granted equal status with the mother. The unborn child is considered as something lower than human life. To the abortionist, the unborn child is a mass of cell tissue, a glob of fetal tissue, not to be granted any protection from harm. The abortionist's lower view of life is manifested in the treatment given aborted children. Aborted children are sold to manufacturing companies in order to produce collagen for higher grade shampoos. Dr. Olga Fairfax wrote, "There's a triple profit to be had from an abortion. The first is from the abortion estimated at $500 million a year by Fortune magazine. The second profit comes from the sale of aborted babies' bodies. The third profit is from unsuspecting customers buying cosmetics. Babies' bodies are sold by the bag. $25 a batch or up to around $5,500 a pound. The sale of later-term elective abortions at D.C. General Hospital brought $68,000 from 1966 to 1976. The money was used to buy a TV set and cookies and soft drinks for visiting professors," end quote. Again, I provide that information just to give us a segue into looking at what the Bible says. It is documented historically. It is documented, again, the incredible financial incentives that these facilities and these hospitals have to keep this going. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, and where there is huge amounts of money to be made, as we all know, there will be people who will completely abandon all morals, all ethics, all religion, and jump in with both feet to make. I thought that the quote from Mike Willis was fantastic when he was referring to abortionists viewing unborn children as cell tissue or a glob. That is, again, the exact language that so many people will use today. It's not really a person. It's just a glob of cells. It's just a glob of nothingness. And that is the argument that so many people will look at. So, again, what does the Bible have to say about the unborn? And I want us to look at this specifically because, again, the Bible should be the centerpiece and the foundation of all of our morality and all of the moral quandaries and decisions that we face. The Bible absolutely describes the fetus as a human being. Again, from Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through 16, we have David talking here, and I want us to read this together. This is from the King James Version, starting in verse 13. "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all of my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." David says three things here. These are three truths about every one of us before we were born. First being that God created us. Second, that God saw us, as David says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. Your eyes saw what was happening. And at number three, God planned our days. God planned our lives. God planned our births. We know that also the unborn are called babies and babes in the Bible. They're not simply referred to as globs or cells. According to Luke chapter 1, verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and her baby, John the Baptist, leaped for joy in the womb. Luke chapter 2, verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. We know that this baby was Jesus, the baby Jesus, and the baby still in the womb, by the way. The life of the unborn is protected by the same punishment for death as a child or an adult. This appears in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 to 25. And again, as we read these verses together, if it's irrelevant, if it's simply a glob of cells that is assembled and is not really a person, you have to ask yourself, why would there be mandated punishments for killing the unborn? If you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 25, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Again, if the baby died through a misdeed or through violence, life was to be taken for life. The Bible's saying that the same punishment as would come upon someone who would kill an adult would come across or come onto someone who had killed an unborn child. Again, the Bible cannot be more clear that that unborn child was viewed as having the worth of a life. The Bible even says that unborn children possess distinctive human traits. The unborn are called by God even before they are born. Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 26. Two babies jostled within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And as we know, those two babies were Jacob and Esau, and they were fighting it out. They were alive. They were active. They were moving. These were not merely blobs of cells, as so many would say today. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah says about himself here, and this is interesting, "Listen, O isles, come unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and he made a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with the Lord. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again unto him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." Again, the Bible cannot be more clear about the sanctity, about the blessedness of the unborn, and about the protection of the unborn. The Bible and God views the unborn as children and as creations of God, and not something just similar, just to be discarded when it's viewed as being inconvenient or interfering with our lives. I want to make one thing abundantly clear tonight. This applies to not just to myself, but to Glenn McMillan or Stevie Butler or anyone else associated with the Gospel Light radio show. No one affiliated with this effort ever condones or approves of or would suggest any form of physical violence against abortion supporters or abortion providers, ever. The actual murders of abortion providers, and we all know these news events. You have the likes of Paul Hill and Scott Roeder and Eric Rudolph and their ilk are every bit as morally repugnant as the babies that are killed by them. Again, this is nonsensical. Why would anyone think that murder is an acceptable and viable action versus those who commit murder? It's nonsensical and idiotic to murder those that you're angry with for murder in the first place. And again, any physical violence against any person is illegal, it is immoral, and most of all, it is unscriptural. We all probably can think back to times when we have seen so-called Christians engage in violence or attacks against abortion providers. And again, that is not going to do anything. That's not going to have any good effect on changing the hearts and minds of people. That is actually going to do just the opposite. That is going to embolden and make even more resolute those who support and promote abortion. So again, I want to make it very clear the purpose for this show, the purpose for our teachings, and that is to look at the history of this practice, that is to look at the effects of this practice, and most importantly, it is to look specifically at what the Bible has to say, a guidebook for any sort of moral question that we would ever have on any topic. Here is the bottom line, so to speak, for tonight, if there is a bottom line. Abortion is an abomination. Abortion is a murderous assault on the unborn. And again, abortion proponents typically have little to no knowledge of the foundational tenets of the very group they support, such as Planned Parenthood. If I were to unveil a lot of these Margaret Sanger quotes and citations for the majority of people who support abortion and support Planned Parenthood, they would have no idea. They would accuse me of being a liar. They would not have any idea what I was talking about or the history of their own cause. Again, we know that the Bible very clearly says that killing of the unborn is a sin. And if we are to effectively combat the growing levels of acceptance of and approval of abortion as a practice, we have to do away with the old arguments. We have to do away with these tired, inane Republican versus Democrat whining. We have to do away with, oh, you're a Christian, oh, you're not really a Christian, all Christians oppose this or that. We have to look at what this has melded into. We have to look at what this has developed into. And we have to realize that approval of this practice, whether we like it or not, has infected our churches. It has infected our schools. It is certainly promoted by the media. And again, regardless of one's political affiliation, regardless of whether one calls himself or herself a Christian or not, we need to keep in mind, again, that 36% of all members of the Church of Christ polled approve of abortion. That means in a church of 200 people, for example, you're going to have on average about 72 people sitting in that audience who agree with this. In a year, it may be 75. In 2 years, it may be 80. Again, as we have seen statistically, this is growing like a cancer. It is becoming more and more prevalent within our churches, and this is why we need to address this topic now from our pulpits, from our church buildings, from our Bible studies. Simply burying our heads in the sand is largely the reason that this has grown in acceptance as it has been. And again, when we make these categorical comments about entire groups, we don't do anything but make imbeciles of ourselves. Again, when we make these simple-minded political comments, we actually serve to embolden supporters of abortion who mock us and openly mock the fact that Christians so often have no idea about the very demographics and numbers of the effort that they claim to be battling in the first place. So again, I want us each to be well-informed. I want us each to be coherent. I want us each to have good appropriate information to go out and to do battle. And when I say do battle, I don't mean physical attack. I mean to take the Bible, to take good information, and to go out and to try to teach the truth about the evils of this practice. In closing tonight, I had a friend at church make this comment to me a couple of days ago, and I want us to think about this, each of us. Again, whether you ever have had an abortion or not, whether you're thinking about having an abortion, whether your family has been touched by one, this is a very simple observation, but it was one that I think is such a great way to close this lesson tonight. If I get a Sunday newspaper in Dallas or Houston or Los Angeles or Oklahoma City or any major media market, there will be dozens, if not hundreds, of advertisements included for families who want to adopt. And most of the time, they will pay all legal fees. They will pay all medical fees. There are thousands of happy, healthy couples across the United States, church couples, who are anxious and wanting to adopt a child and wanting to welcome that child into their baby, into their family. There are entire websites. There are entire church-affiliated groups who are dedicated to this cause. And again, so often when we talk about abortion, we fail to mention the wonder and the beauty and the greatness of adoption as well. Again, even if someone is beset with an unwanted pregnancy, the most loving thing that they can do, obviously, is to help through whatever means are available to help provide that child the avenue to have a healthy, happy, productive home and a happy, healthy, productive life also. And I just want to make mention of that. Adoption, again, is such a wonderful activity and is something that so often is disregarded and not even thought of by people who feel inconvenienced by abortion. They simply want to do away with it and completely ignore adoption as an alternative down the road. So I just want all of our listeners, again, to think about that and to keep that in mind. Let's end with a prayer this evening. Again, I want to thank everyone for being with us. I want to thank Stevie for allowing this show to be broadcast. As always, and this is a standing invitation to any of our listeners, not only for this specific segment tonight, but any show that the Gospel Light ever has, we welcome your questions. We welcome your insights. We welcome your comments. You can reach us through the website. You can reach us through Facebook. We have a telephone number that you can call in. We always want to address comments and questions and concerns that anyone out there might have. If this segment tonight has had an effect on you or you would like further study, there are very capable men here who would be more than happy to study this topic with you or any topic with you at any point. So please, again, keep that in mind. Let's pray together quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, we come unto you tonight, Father, in awe and reverence of you and all of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you have given us. And so often, Father, we ignore the physical blessings. We ignore the fact that we are so wealthy. Nearly all of us have food and clothing. We are the wealthiest nation on earth, the wealthiest nation in the history of mankind, and we need to always be thankful for that, Father, for our houses, for our jobs, for the blessings that we have. Father, we thank you even more than that for the sacrifice that was made, the death of your Son to cover the sins of the world, the sins that each of us have committed. We thank you for that, Father. We know that that is a debt that we will never be able to repay. We also know that that was a sacrifice that we did not deserve, and we thank you each and every day for that. Father, please be with us. Forgive us of our sins. And, Father, we know that we have looked at, briefly tonight, one of the most challenging, one of the most difficult issues in all of Christianity today, and that is abortion. And we pray, Father, that we will always go to your book, the Holy Bible, that we will always refer back to that for our answers to anything, and that we will study that book, and that we will study your word, and we will constantly be prepared and be equipped to give a ready answer for what we believe and why we believe it. And we hope, Father, that through a thorough study and knowledge of your word that we would be well equipped to deal with someone who is pondering an abortion, or someone who is thinking about having an abortion, or someone who is thinking about engaging in any sort of immoral behaviors. Father, we hope that you would help us to be in a position to guide that person, to open that person's eyes, and to let them see the consequences and the sin that they might engage themselves in. Please be with each and every one of us, Father. Forgive us of our sins and allow us to be Christ-like beacons unto the world, whether it be at our workplace, at our schools, our neighbors, even within our own families. It is in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.
God has been around.
The Lord's been around.
The Lord's been around.
God's been around.
Before the depth of the earth.
He'll be around to judge you in the end. I want to take my rest, Lord, in the end. I want to do my best. I want to smile, for I have nothing to hide. Oh Lord, oh Lord, in the end, and Lord, when I'm called and I want to rest from my journey up here, and all the angels will beckon me, then I'll rest eternally.
Radio Show Special Edition.
I'm gonna keep on climbing this mountain.
Anybody out there,
though the storm winds blow,
having trials and
tribulation,
just want to encourage
keep
you,
moving
keep moving on,
until I
need somebody who's been through something, help me now.
I've had some ups and downs, some hard times in my life,
I've had to wipe so many tears from my weeping eyes,
know the pain will last only for a night.
That's why I'll hold on till the morning light. You see the suffering we're going through, it don't compare to the dreads that wait for us all the day. I gotta keep on climbing though sometimes we make it hard. But we ain't gonna stop till we reach the top. The devil tries to make us think there is no way out. Maybe you lost someone that was close to you.
Maybe you're sick and there's nothing you can do.
Oh yeah.
Just keep your eyes to the sky. When times get hard, keep pressing toward the prize.
Oh, you see, I try. They won't last for long.
They won't last. They only make them
strong. So they gotta keep on.
Higher
ground.